Good afternoon, 4:30 and 64 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Yes, that is a resounding yes.
It's sad. It's sad for my kids to see on TV and to ask questions.
Some of the Kentuckians who voted today say they're glad the presidential campaign is finally over. They weren't too impressed.
Eastern Kentucky's battle with wildfires may continue for several weeks.
And the mayor of Hillsboro, Ohio, goes on trial for official misconduct.
In sports, the Moorhead State basketball teams kick off their 2016 campaigns Friday night at home. The women play Georgia State and the men take on Kentucky Christian.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Showers possible tonight with lows in the mid-40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Some Kentuckians voting in today's election say they weren't happy with the tone of the presidential campaign or the two major party candidates, Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump.
He is very, very unpredictable. And while Hillary Clinton has her faults, she's just going to be a more predictable, stable.
The Trump momentum has been so significant throughout America that very likely that will result in a congressional seats being taken by the wave of this new contingency.
I'm sick of the ads and, I mean, just all of the hateful things that are going back and forth between the two campaigns. So, yeah, I'm ready for it to wrap up.
Besides the presidential election, Kentuckians are also making their picks for U.S. Senator, Congress, and which party will control the Kentucky House of Representatives. Democrats have a 6-vote margin in the House. Ashland voters are deciding if Chuck Charles should get a second term or whether to return former Mayor Steve Gilmore to office. They're also choosing 4 city commissioners. Moorhead residents are selecting their next city council, and that's the case in many other cities in the region as well. The polls are open till 6 o'clock tonight.
Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes says participation in this election has already been significant based on early voting. She says it looks today like that trend is continuing.
Based on the absentee numbers we were seeing at the close yesterday of in-person voting, we were ahead of where we were in 2008. What we have managed to glean from throughout the state are long lines.
Grimes says a record number of Kentuckians, 3.3 million, are eligible to vote today.
If Republicans win control of the Kentucky House of Representatives in today's election, it'll have far-reaching implications for the state's political landscape. That's something leaders of the Kentucky Democratic and Republican parties both agree on. Former Democratic Party Chairman Jonathan Miller says a GOP majority in the House would clear the way for some big changes in social and economic policy in Kentucky. K.C. Crosby of the state Republican Party says that would be good, and she thinks Kentuckians are ready for a new direction.
We believe that we are ripe to win the state house this year based on last year's gubernatorial race, as well as what we see going on at the national level and how well Trump is doing in the state of Kentucky. I mean, people want jobs. They need jobs. And we need to have a state house that's going to get in and work with Governor Bevin at creating jobs.
If the House goes Republican, you're going to see a different agenda come across. And for progressives on social issues like me, it's going to be troubling to see abortion restrictions, perhaps a bathroom bill against transgender students like we've seen in North Carolina. You'll see probably right-to-work legislation and tort reform and charter schools. And this is very meaningful legislation.
Miller and Crosby both appeared Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight.
Voters in West Virginia today are choosing a new governor, and Ohioans are deciding whether to give U.S. Senator Rob Portman another term. The Mountain State contest is between billionaire Democrat Jim Justice and Republican State Senate President Bill Cole. West Virginia's current governor is Democrat Earl Ray Tomlin, who is constitutionally limited to 2 terms. In Ohio, the Republican Portman is opposed by Democrat and former governor Ted Strickland.
Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy is glad a couple of men have stepped forward to run for mayor in the small city of Ewing. The position has been vacant since Pamela McFarland resigned last year. However, local residents David Ratliff and Robert Blevins decided several weeks ago to seek the mayor's position as write-in candidates in today's election. Foxworthy says their interest in the job is a good sign for the tiny town of 264 residents.
I believe so, yes. I don't know that they were ever at the point of dissolving their charter or dissolving their incorporation status, but I think there's some people there in the community decided that they wanted to see things done a little different than in the past and are stepping up to lead and do what needs to be done.
Foxworthy says it's important things settle down for Ewing's city government since an interlocal agreement requires the town to turn over all of its state road aid so the county can handle all of the town's road work.
There are several fires burning in the Daniel Boone National Forest right now. Melissa Eunice is a spokeswoman for the U.S. Forest Service. She says three of the fires are in the Cumberland Ranger District.
The one that most people want to know about is happening on the gorge, and it's called the Woodland Fire, and it's 90 acres, but we've got a containment line around it that's going to be, it's going to eventually be 300 acres, and it's bringing in a lot of smoke, and it's off a Tunnel Ridge Road.
Eunice says there are seven fires in the Redbird District of the Daniel Boone, three in the Stearns District, and one more in the London District. She notes since September 9th, there have been 27 wildfires in the forest, which have burned 600 acres. Campfires and outdoor burning is currently banned in the Daniel Boone, except in designated recreation areas.
Eastern Kentucky's battle with wildfires could be a prolonged struggle because there doesn't appear to be any relief in the weather forecast over the next week or so. That's according to Kevin Sullivan of the National Weather Service office in Jackson. He says it looks like it's going to be pretty dry in many parts of the U.S.
Much of the country is being forecast to be below normal on precipitation, so we're really not seeing a whole lot of signs of improvement as we head into the middle of the month. So the good chances the dry weather will keep on going as we head forward.
State officials estimate that nearly 15,000 acres have burned in Kentucky since the blazes began October 29th. 56 counties, including Rowan, Bath, Boyd, Carter, Menifee, Elliott, Fleming, Floyd, Lewis, Morgan, Montgomery, and McGoffin counties have issued bans on outdoor burning.
As troublesome as the wildfires have been in eastern Kentucky over the past 2 weeks, the fire chief for the Kentucky Division of Forestry says they could have been much worse. Fortunately, says Floyd Willis, they have not been accompanied by high winds.
Even though this is a really bad fire season, we haven't had an actual red flag warning day yet, and ahead of another front that we have, we could have high winds, and that's when we could really have even more problems than what we're having right now.
Willis says Kentucky National Guard helicopters continue to dump water on the fires, and 48 bulldozers have been deployed to help contain them.
The Rowan County man who heads the Kentucky Fire Commission says all the hardware at his disposal is being made available to assist firefighting efforts in the Appalachian region. Ronnie Day is executive director of the commission.
We've got several pieces of equipment from command vehicles, Hummers, forestry trailers, some pumpers and tankers, and several brush trucks that will be responding as well. They will be under the direction of the Kentucky Division of Forestry.
Day says volunteer firefighters from all over the state have also been enlisted in efforts to suppress the blazes.
The Kentucky Office of Emergency Management is working with relief agencies to make sure people displaced from their homes due to the wildfires have shelter and food. Wayne Bird is Assistant Director of Operations.
American Red Cross was on site. They've got five shelters on standby in our southeastern counties, and they are conducting one feeding station down in southeastern Kentucky.
Bird says he's also closely monitoring water supplies in the area to make sure they're sufficient to meet the needs of firefighters and others.
According to one official, a public meeting will be held in the coming weeks to introduce people in Moorhead to the concept of making the city's downtown a tax increment financing district. Tony Pence heads Downtown Moorhead Incorporated. He's been spearheading the TIF proposal. He says the plan, which involves a public financing method to induce developers to build in certain areas, could create a lot of revenue for the city.
In our case, estimated right now, with over a 20-year period, that's what we're talking about, is the 20-year period into the future, we would have about $9 million returned through occupational taxes, about 80% of those new occupational taxes, and about $29 million or so in sales taxes that could be returned.
State law requires that a developer make a minimum $20 million investment in a designated tax increment financing district before the plan could be enacted. Pence stresses utilizing a TIF would not create a tax increase for anyone else.
The city water reservoir in Ashland has been drained, and the work to clean it is underway. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has more.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, workers have drained a 24-million-gallon water reservoir and are now looking to remove approximately 1 million gallons of sludge. This sludge came from farmland soil that has washed down the Ohio River and collected in the reservoir over time. Crews have been periodically dredging the reservoir since it was built in the 1930s. In past years, they have piped the sludge back into the Ohio River, but the EPA has now outlawed that practice. Now the city is pumping out what it can into separate reservoirs and using heavy machinery to remove the rest of the sludge that was unable to be pumped out. Once all the sludge is collected, it will be shipped to a local business, which will dry it and sell it for mulch. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Tilden Johnson.
A jury has been chosen for the trial of Hillsborough, Ohio Mayor Drew Hastings, who faces charges of official misconduct and four felony counts. The Times-Gazette reports a jury of 10 women and 2 men was seated Monday for the trial. The mayor is also a stand-up comedian. Hastings' attorney has blasted the accusation that the Republican falsified his residency by pointing out that Ohio's attorney general already investigated the matter in 2013. He says the other charges are misleading. A retired Summit County Common Pleas judge is hearing the case after a Highland County judge recused himself. Hastings has appeared on Comedy Central and The Tonight Show.
Marshall University's School of Pharmacy may be expanding. The Charleston Gazette-Mail reports the University Board of Governors has approved an intent to plan for a Master of Sciences and Master of Arts in Pharmaceutical Sciences. The school graduated its first class of students in May. The board also approved a contract with an Ohio firm to develop plans for possible new housing, parking, and academic facilities adjacent to the health sciences campus.
The new Ironton-Russell Bridge is slated to open later this month. It'll connect U.S. 23 to South 2nd Street in downtown Ironton, bypassing downtown Russell. Ironton Mayor Katrina Keith says the infrastructure upgrade is good news for her town.
The new bridge opens up for traffic to come right down into our business district. So with the new bypass taking place in Lucasville, that traffic on US 52 can come here now and shoot across into Kentucky. So we're hoping that excess traffic off of 52 over to 23, people can use the city of Ironton to come in and visit our businesses and some of our restaurants and pour into our economy here.
Keith says an opening ceremony is scheduled for November 23rd. It'll include a raffle and vintage car parade. The $81.3 million project replaces the existing bridge over the Ohio River, which has been in use for nearly a century.
The Morehead Community Soup Kitchen is getting ready to host its 6th annual Thanksgiving dinner. The meal will be open to the public. It starts at 10 a.m. on November 23rd and runs to 3:30 p.m. Soup Kitchen Director Lula Pecco is expecting several hundred people to show up for the event.
We're going to have turkey dressing and ham and some sort of potatoes, probably mashed potatoes, and sweet potato casserole, and green beans and macaroni and cheese, and broccoli casserole, and cranberry salad, and dinner rolls.
Pecco says if anyone wishes to volunteer for the dinner or any time the soup kitchen is open, they should call the number 606-784-9533. Mm-hmm. Turning now to look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, we'll see occasional showers in the evening, then numerous showers later on. The chance of rain is 80%, and we'll see lows around 45 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, highs around 52. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, patchy frost near dawn, and lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, it'll be sunny with highs around 60. That night, clear with lows in the lower 40s. On Veterans Day, that's at the end of the week, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 50s. Friday night, partly cloudy with patchy frost and lows around 35. It's currently sitting at 67 degrees in Ashland. It's 60 right now in Flemingsburg, 65 in Inez, 58 in Lexington, 60 degrees in Winchester, and 64 here in Moorhead.
446, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and it is good to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, the future of the death penalty in Kentucky is up for debate. The full story from the Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre.
Over the past 10 years, 8 states have abolished or overturned their death penalties, while governors in 4 other states have issued a moratorium. So is the tide turning in Kentucky, one of 30 states that still allows capital punishment? It has for Amy Carino, who says she was pro-death penalty for a long time. A criminal justice professor at Gateway Community and Technical College, Carino says too many mistakes are made.
The thought of putting someone to death that is innocent just really got me thinking, and eventually I have come completely to the other side.
A 2011 report from the American Bar Association exposed a myriad of problems with Kentucky's death penalty system, including its cost and length. Carino has organized a panel discussion on the issue for Wednesday night, which she says is an offshoot of a community-wide reading project in 8 northern Kentucky counties. Carino says people across the region, including students in her criminal courtroom procedures class, have been reading A Lesson Before Dying, which is about the execution of an innocent man. Bennett Nelson, a sophomore at Gateway, says it has him rethinking his position in support of the death penalty.
I didn't realize how many people are wrongfully convicted and could possibly die for a reason that they didn't even do anything.
Earlier this year, a poll found that when Kentuckians are informed of problems with the state's death penalty, 72% were concerned about executing an innocent person, and 64% favored making life without parole the maximum sentence. Nelson says he is now leaning in that direction. Gateway sophomore Shelby Kerlock says she enjoyed the book, but she remains opposed to abolition of the death penalty.
I still believe that it should be an option. They get ample amount of time to defend their case with appeals, but I don't believe in providing 3 meals a day to some of these people that do deserve it.
The last execution in Kentucky was 8 years ago this month. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
448, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock. And Braxton has sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. eGallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Good afternoon with more at State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. A lack of balance on offense by his Eagles during Saturday's 54-28 rout of Butler doesn't bother Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier. While MSU rode up 516 yards against the Bulldogs, only 51 of them came on the ground. But Tenier says, no big deal.
Here's the thing, you know, we do a lot of the run-pass option stuff, you know what I mean? And you know, we were taking what they gave us, and the way they were playing six, seven guys in the box and bringing pressure with 7 and 8 sometimes. We got the ball out to one-on-ones, and, you know, we broke a couple big tackles for some big plays as well.
At 3-6 overall and 2-4 in the PFL, the Football Eagles play their final home game of 2016 on Saturday as they entertain conference opponent Campbell. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops says he and his team are already fired up about Saturday's game at Tennessee. Stoops reports that he's already turned the page after last weekend's disappointing 27-24 home loss to Georgia.
I'm jacked up and ready to go. I really am. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's a hard locker room after that game. You know, of course, it is. And it was not an easy Sunday. That's it. 24 hours, man. Let's move on. I'm juiced up and ready to go.
At 5-4 overall, the Cats' next win will make them bowl eligible. They're 4-3 in the SEC East, setting second in the division, while the Vols are 6-3 overall. They're just 2-3 in conference play. With their season opener coming up in just a few days, Morehead State men's basketball coach Sean Woods is making sure the Eagles are tuned up and ready to go before they host Kentucky Christian on Friday night. After watching the Eagles demolish Cincinnati Christian in a Sunday exhibition 106-63, Woods says MSU has some things to work on before they play game one.
We got to guard the ball better off the bounce. I didn't think we did a great job of that. They were getting beeline drives where our help couldn't really be a factor as far as running and plays, you know, hedging and getting back to shooters.
Friday evening's opener at Johnson Arena tips off at 7:45. The Morehead State women's basketball team is preparing for the Donna Murphy Classic at Johnson Arena. Coach Greg Todd says his Eagles will need to meet fire with fire when facing high-scoring Georgia State on Friday evening at 5:30.
We will have to do a good job of being able to score the ball ourselves. So we have to put the ball in the basket, and I think balance is key for us. I don't think we have, you know, that one player or two players that a team could shade against.
As part of the weekend classic, the MSU women will host Eastern Michigan on Sunday at 1:30. The University of Kentucky basketball team has its season opener Friday night at Rupp Arena against Stephen F. Austin. Following Sunday's exhibition win over Asbury 156-63, head coach John Calipari says he has an idea of what his rotation will look like in the regular season.
8 or 9, and that all depends on how many minutes guys can play. You know, we're playing to win. If you looked at this, you'd have to say Bam stood out. If you're playing those three guards, then sometimes you got three guards, sometimes you have two. And I would say those bigs, again, do you play all 9 or you cut it to 8? That's going to be when they get in. If they deserve to play, they'll get more time.
Friday's opener tips off at 7 p.m. While he was happy with his team's first half in last night's 81-60 exhibition win over Bellarmine, Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino didn't like how the Cards finished the game. Holding the Knights to 19% shooting in the first 20 minutes, U of L built a 49-17 intermission lead. Bellarmine, though, made things more interesting in the second stanza. Patino says that's because the Cards got selfish.
Guys didn't pass the ball. Donovan was interested in scoring. Q was interested in scoring. And when they get to the level where pass is more important than their score, that's when you'll have a really good offensive basketball team. And tonight, it's been there. I got to give them a lot of credit. It's been there. Tonight, it wasn't there.
Louisville opens the season at home on Friday night against Evansville. A reporter from MLB.com predicts the Cincinnati Reds will be better next season thanks to improved pitching. According to Jim Duquette, the Reds likely won't have to deal again with a starting rotation and bullpen that seemed to be in a constant state of disarray for most of this past summer.
Brandon Finnegan and Anthony DeSclafani stabilized the rotation. Homer Bailey should be healthy for a full season. Michael Lorenzen in the bullpen with Raisel Iglesias and Tony Cingrani helped stabilize things, but they're going to need to add some veterans to help Cincinnati compete in 2017.
Those veterans will likely have to come at a bargain price. While there could be some bullpen help available in the free agent market, experts say this is a weak year for finding quality free agent starters. Finally, in sports, also in the MLB, Colorado has a new manager, and he's familiar with the National League. AP correspondent Lee Franks reports.
Bud Black says he's excited and feels fortunate becoming the new Rockies manager. The former pitcher of 15 years and longtime Padres manager calls Colorado a real team with good young pitchers. The Rockies' unreliable bullpen was a big weakness this last season, a challenge Black recognizes at high-scoring, high-altitude Coors Field. Black says he sees baseball through a pitcher's eyes and sees good things ahead for the Rockies, ultimately returning to the World Series. Lee Frank, Denver.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will play their final home game of the season, hosting Pioneer Football League opponent Campbell University at 1 p.m. Saturday. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher, led by utilities, as investors eagerly awaited the results of the U.S. presidential election. And at the close of the day, industrials finished with a gain of 72.83 at 18,332.43. The S&P 500 was up 8.01 at 2139.53, and the NASDAQ composite was up 27.32 at 5193.49. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 8 to 6 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Gold futures for December delivery, which fell more than $20 yesterday, were down $4.90 at $1,274.50 an ounce. And U.S. Treasury yields were up, with the two-year note near 0.86% and the benchmark 10-year yield around 1.86%. Overseas European equities traded mostly higher, with the Pan-European Stock 600 Index gaining around 0.3%. In Asia, stocks mostly rose, with the Shanghai Composite advancing about 0.5% and the Nikkei 225 closing just below break-even. In oil markets, U.S. crude oil erased earlier losses, settling about 0.2% higher at $44.98 a barrel. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Travelers and McDonald's, and your worst performers were DuPont and Pfizer. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Freeport-McMoRan and the Priceline Group, and your worst performers were CVS and Endo International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.43 at $114.99, CSX up 2 cents at $32.07, Marathon Petroleum down 80 cents at $41.80, AK Steel up 18 cents at $6.07, AEP up 58 cents at $63.23, and Valvoline was up 26 cents to finish at $21.05. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight occasional showers with numerous showers developing later. The chance of rain is 80% tonight with lows around 45 degrees. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, highs around 52. Tomorrow night partly cloudy, patchy frost near dawn with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday it'll be sunny, highs up around 60. That night clear with lows in the lower 40s. On Veterans Day, that's Friday, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 50s. That night, partly cloudy with patchy frost, lows in the mid-30s. On Saturday, at the beginning of our weekend, sunny, highs around 52. That night will be cold and clear with widespread frost, lows around 30 degrees. On Sunday, at the end of the weekend, sunny skies with highs around 60. It's currently sitting at 67 degrees in Ashland. It's 60 right now in Flemingsburg, 65 in Inez, 58 in Lexington, 60 in Winchester, and 64 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Adkins, and Tilden Johnson. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSBR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.